two men are talking with each other, and one of them says, "Are you calling my son a liar?" That's really the punchline of the story. But since you don't know the setting, you don't know the context in which it's being said, you don't know that that's the punchline of the story. Now imagine that there are two men standing there talking to each other, and they're both holding a coffee mug, and on that coffee mug it says, "World's greatest dad." And the one saying to the other, "Are you calling my son a liar?" There can only be one greatest dad, right? As we listen to the story of Paul, we look back at the setting, the time, the era, the history of a revelation that comes to him. A revelation of a world-changing event. And then that how that impacts the gospel message that Paul shares in his travels and in his ministry. Paul really writes very little of his conversion, about the experience on the road to Damascus. But we do know some things about him. And we do know some things about the time in which he lived. Paul came from a Jewish family in the city of Tarsus. It was the capital city of Cilicia, which at that time was the center of Greek culture, a very affluent city, a very prosperous city. In his writings, in his letter, we see how Paul identifies himself as a member of God's chosen people. He says, "Yes, I am a Hebrew. I am an Israelite. I am a descendant of Abraham." And during that time, during that age, it's believed that there was a population of about 4.5 million Jews throughout the Roman Empire. It made up of about 7% of the population. The majority of those who followed the teachings of Israel actually lived outside of that land. Many lived in Syria or in Egypt. But wherever they lived around the empire, they enjoyed a favored status. The Romans gave them the right to practice their religion. They were able to organize their own communities, structure their lives around their synagogues. They even had self-jurisdiction to the extent that it did not infringe upon the laws of the Roman Empire. They were exempt from military status and from emperor worship. They could be themselves. That helps us to understand the situation in Jerusalem during Holy Week in the times of Jesus. Jerusalem was one of the rare places where there was great unrest, great amount of turmoil, being the religious center of Judaism. But throughout the rest of the empire, it was rather peaceful. And during this time, there was a profound confusion amongst the many teachings and religions. There were many cults and many different, with many different doctrines, the worshiping of a variety of gods in all of their different temples. And maybe surprisingly to us, Judaism had become a missionary force. They were fulfilling the words of the prophet Isaiah, who said that they were a covenant people of God. And with that covenant promise, and that they were to be a light to the nations. And they were being that light. Paul writes about how the people of Israel went about their witness, and how they embarked on their missionary status. In Romans, he says, "If you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast of your relationship to God and know His will and determine what is best because you are instructed in the law, and if you are sure that you are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. He talks about how they are witnesses and how they have had an impact in their missionary work throughout the empire. What was appealing amongst the confusion of all these religious teachings was that the people of Israel offered the belief in one invisible God, the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of all things. There is an attraction to the structure of their lives because of its law, because of the ethical and ritual commandments that they followed, the uniform way of life they followed, wherever in the world they lived. They had years and years of history. And they were also a people of hope, because they looked forward to and anticipated the peace and the righteousness that would be brought by their Messiah. The teachings of Judaism provided a uniqueness and maintained a way of life that appealed to many people. And Paul then too, one who was devoted to the faith and to the law, was trained in Jerusalem, became a Pharisee, and was a missionary to the Gentiles, and was zealously passionate about his work and about his mission. A tradition that was consistent and it did not change. And how Paul was binded to that. When it comes to teenagers, there are some things that don't change. And any advice you can give to a teenager includes this. There are certain questions that a parent, a mother, a father, or someone could ask that you always, always, always reply yes. If a parent or an adult said to you, "Are you listening to me?" Under all circumstances, you reply by saying yes. If you're asked, "Will you be home at 11 o'clock or whenever your curfew will be?" you reply by saying, "Well, yes, of course." Even if you have no intentions of doing so. If you're told, "Call me when you get there," you say, "Yes." If you're asked at this party, at this gathering of your friends, will there be adult supervision? You say, yes. If a parent asks you, "Have I made myself clear?" Yes. That doesn't change. That's consistent. It's the same thing you said to your parents. Now you have heard many times yourselves. And so there was this consistency with Paul and the traditions of which he was a part. It hadn't changed for generations. And the revelation comes upon Paul. A vision on the road to Damascus. His encounter with the risen Jesus. Paul believed that many of his teachings and his understandings came from visions such as these. Now, one who had shared with this Jewish past is now turning to Christ and the message that accompanies that. One who held a great zeal for the law now is to talk about a relationship with God, not through the law, but through the good news. A justification, a relationship that is available to all people. And so with this good news that Paul shares, he questions the traditions. He questions the temple worship. He questions the role of the law in the lives of the people. The gospel message is without law, contrary to his tradition of which he had been a part. Contrary to many of the followers of Jesus who had shared that same tradition as him. Paul provides a contrast to the necessity of the Gentile people having to fulfill this law. a contrast that to become a follower of Jesus, you had to incorporate all the traditions and laws of the chosen people. Those who were in that early church with Paul, who had not distanced themselves from the law, believed that the Gentiles should not have the same access to salvation that they had. But in Paul's message, he emphasizes that God treats all of humanity as being lost. It is said that there is nothing man-made in heaven except for the scars on Christ. And that we are all responsible for those scars. But though all of humanity is lost, God brings us all under His divine grace. Embraces us with His promise. We read about the revelation that came to Paul and then how that shaped him in being a witness. How he stood strong in the face of opposition. He was not swayed by the traditions that had meant so much to him and that he had been a part. He stood firm in the good news for all. The realization that indeed this was a new age, a new era, a new time. And that through the sacrifice of Jesus, that Jesus was in fact the greatest of all. The greatest expression of God's love. The greatest example of service, compassion, and caring for one another. And that how we too, as we go in through our journey in life, are time after time after time struck by revelations and visions and the impact of God's Spirit and how we aspire to such greatness. Amen.